against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Say glory. No room for cowards. No room for kitchen patrollers. We're in a battleground. We're in a fight. We're fighting for our life. We're winning. We're winning. Look around. Say, you're a winner. Oh, you can say it better than that. They don't even believe you. Tell them they're a winner tonight. You are winners, brothers. Praise the Lord. Let's give him a good hand clap of praise. The house of the Lord. Glory. Brother Warren, you're a winner. You are a winner. He's a testimony to the healing power. I'm sure they're going to write in a testimony. Sister Art was sharing some things with me, and I'm not going to jump ahead without permission, but just some magnificent things that a doctor's visit, just magnificent reports. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request.
several things we want to let you know about tonight. Brother George Hamblin sends us in to please pray for my sister Joyce Maddox and family. Her husband is in the final stages of cancer. He's not expected to live at all. They're just turned him over, and they're just asking that we would pray for that family, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. So we just commit those folks to the Lord. Sister Janet Payne says that her landlord, Mac McClelland, asked our church to pray for him. He's been diagnosed with bone cancer. He has been a very instrumental help to a lot of folks here in the in our assembly, and been very generous to them and been very considerate to them. So they're asking that we would pray for him tonight. The Lord would be mindful of him. Urgent prayer request for a girl who's in a bad situation and needs God to intervene. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord. Want to continue to pray for Sister Tessa tonight. She came home today, but still needs prayer for a complete recovery. Also, the family has to take her to Nashville tomorrow for follow-up treatment for her knee surgery. And they ask for traveling mercies. Let's just pray that the Lord would be mindful of them, keep his hand upon them as they travel down there, and give her complete healing in her body. Which she's just a precious sister, and let's pray for that family. Brother Baker and family says they want to thank the Lord for protecting them on the way to service tonight. A young lady ran into them, but the Lord helped us, and everyone is okay. So they want to praise the Lord for his merciful hand. So we thank the Lord for that. This is from Alicia Job. God bless you and all you saints, Brother Donnie, and all the saints, trusting that all is well with you. In God's grace, I am kindly requesting prayer for my brother who has suffered a stroke and is having some challenges to walk. I am also requesting prayer for myself for high blood pressure and inability to sleep. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. The Lord will be mindful. Sister Kirkpatrick says to please pray for a woman by the name of Bonnie from Missouri who has colon cancer, but most of all pray for her salvation. Also a woman by the name of Tammy who also has cancer, needs salvation. Pray for Nathan Hedrick, who is 19 years old and involved in legal matters and really needs salvation in his life. So those requests, let's pray for those needs tonight. Sister Brenda Harmon sends this in to please pray for Dakota Harmon. She's having chest pains at school today. Her heart rate was 132. They took her to the Children's Hospital. So let's pray for that child, that family. The Lord would be mindful of them. Please continue to pray for Brother Burt Gravely. The doctors say that he is doing well, but he's still experiencing a lot of pain. Also remember Sister Barbara in prayer. She is experiencing severe back pain. So let's pray for those needs tonight. The Lord would be mindful of those folks. Brother Matt Carter says to please pray for Randall Krause, who has prostate cancer. He's having a scan done on May the 4th. So let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of him. Sister Lena Jones says to please pray for Bonnie Sumner's youngest daughter, who has to have some tests done at the hospital. So that's Sister Bonnie Sumner's youngest daughter. So let's pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful of that. Brother Terry Horn says to please pray for our youngest son, Dallas, who is autistic. They have to put him to sleep just to do some dental work. So I want to pray that the Lord would just intervene and be mindful of that situation for Brother Terry and his family, that the Lord would help them. Brother Randy Scott says to please pray for Brother John Matthews, who lost his wife, Sister Wilma, just a few weeks back. They were married for over 50 years. He's having a very difficult time dealing with the loss. Pray the Lord would bring him comfort during this time. May God bless you, Brother Randy Scott. Well, we've just got a lot of requests tonight. How many of you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about? You believe we're serving a wonderful risen Savior that's alive forevermore. He wants you to prosper and be in good health. He really wants that. Let's ask him for all these requests, but let's ask him to let our faith leap out and take hold of these promises, that he's already healed us. He's already done the work. Do you believe that with all your heart? Now may God grant our faith muscles tonight. to take God at His word, to believe that He's going to do these things that we've asked Him for. Let's stand tonight. Brother Brad Yance, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. We just commit all these things unto the Lord. Appreciate Brother Brad, don't we? God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity to come back into your house, Lord. Father, it's a highlight of our week, God. We just long for the time when this door is open on this Wednesday, we can come here and worship you. Lord, we just want you to feel welcome and walk up and down these aisles, Father, and speak to every heart. Lord, you know every hand that was raised, and each person has a different need. But God, you can move for each one of them. These requests in my hand, Father, many was read, but God, these people had confidence in us that we can approach your throne, Lord. Father, may you move according to your perfect divine will. Father, may you take this service into your hands. May you anoint the singing, Lord. Everything that's said or done, Father, anoint our pastor, Father, as he comes out and ministers to us, God. Speak through him, Lord, and hear through us, God. May we draw strength tonight for our journey to fight the devil, Father. We just love you and thank you for what you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Brad. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor with us tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streamed in the service, we pray that this would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Wade wants you to know, trustees, that there will be a meeting tonight after the service. Trustee meeting tonight after service, so remember that. And they also have DVD copies of the meetings in Switzerland. They are available in the library. If you'd like to purchase one of those, they have those available, and I know they would be a tremendous, tremendous blessing to you to pick those DVDs up. It's good to be in church. We've come to worship. We've come to worship a risen Savior. We've come to give Him our very best tonight. How many of you work today? Probably a lot of you. How many of you wish you had a job? But I'm going to say this. We most of the time we give our employers a good day's work, don't we? Now we're going to give our employer, we're going to give him a good night of worship, because he owns us. He owns us tonight. How many of you know he's worthy of all your praise? All the honor and glory you could ever give him, you'll come up short. So let's worship him in spirit and truth. Look at somebody and say, it's time to have church. Welcome to camp meeting. Tell them welcome to camp meeting. Now give him a good hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. What I said we were going to sing? Amen. I told Harry, Brother Harry, what we was going to sing. And now here, me neither one can remember what it was. Thank you, brother. Bless them, Lord. I heard that. Praise the Lord. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. How many of you know you're going to do that? Somebody's talking to me that they said, well, the way the world looks at it, graves are going to burst open, buses going to wreck everywhere, cars going to pile up, airplanes going to fall out of the sky. It ain't going to happen that way. It's a secret coming. You've been invited to the secret coming of the Lord. Do you feel honored tonight? You have been invited to be caught away in the clouds of glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. Yes, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. Oh yeah! Thank God it'll soon be mine.
I've got my invitation to a place called Calvary.
In the twinkling of an eye, I made my preparation.
calling, get on board.
Oh, yes.
And the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. We'll meet again, the Savior
and our loved ones who have gone.
Through a place called Calvary, by the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me.
Oh, yes, it has. Church, we're going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls.
Yes, sir.
His bride.
Yes, sir. The service. Sister Jessica Benton has a song. Is that right? She'd come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing for us. Let's sing this little chorus together. Are you glad for this lighthouse on this hill tonight? Do you appreciate that God lets you be a part of it? Hey, we're not all of it, but you know what? We're part of it. We're in that big old picture that he painted. Are you glad about it tonight? Praise the Lord. And I thank God for
from that old lighthouse.
please, as you're seated tonight. Sister Jessica.
I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door. I will walk the path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be.
Enjoying this Acts journey that we're on? Amen. It's a lot different than what we once thought it was like. It's not all pie in the sky that we're going to win. Amen. We're all winners. Praise the Lord. I believe that. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's sing that chorus together tonight.
Oh, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far than the brightest star. Oh, sweeter than the song they sing in heaven. Let the saints proclaim what a lovely name.
Sing it now.
Oh yes, now what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star.
Than the sun. lovely name. Oh, don't you love that name tonight? Amen. I'm so glad. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not a name of magic. It's not some magic incantation that you just say it over and over again and it's magic. It's a name of love. Name of forgiveness. God could have chose the human name Donnie if he'd wanted it. Terry, Keith, Wes. He could have chose whatever human name he wanted. But he wanted this name, the name of Jesus. And there's not another name. And I don't mind telling you, friends, it bothers me. When I hear message folks want to lift the name William Branham higher than the name of our Lord Jesus, it bothers me. The seven thunders wasn't ringing out B-R-A-N-H-A-M. That's what's being projected from headquarters, but that's a lie. There's one name. There's one name. Every knee will bow, not to the name Branham, not to the name Reagan, but the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know who that was for, but that was for you, so I hope you enjoyed it. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 23, verse 10. I trust you've been enjoying this journey we've been on in the book of Acts. Amen. We are still on it in 2017. Amen. This book is still going on tonight. Chapter 23, verse 10. When there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. But the promise of Jesus supersedes their vow. So let the devil huff and puff and say he's going to blow your house down. But the promise of Jesus has greater power. And may like to be remembered tonight as we pray. Let's bow our heads together, if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father, for giving us another Wednesday night that we could be able to assemble ourselves together. How we love being able to come to church in the middle of the week, Lord. It's such a great time of refreshing. Lord, as we look into your word again tonight, I ask that you would help us, that we can be benefited by these examples that you inspired Luke to write so many, many years ago. We thank you, Father, that we've been able to see that the book of Acts is not just signs and wonders and miracles and tongues and visions and angels, but it was so many more things. It was everyday life. It was struggles. It was difficulties. Imprisonment, demons warring against the saints of God. So, Father, it helps us in the age that we're living to realize that we are fighting such things as well. There was many hands that was uplifted, hundreds of them here tonight, signifying a need, a desire, a request. You know what they are. Lord, I have in my hand this handkerchief. Father, this mother wanting this to be prayed over tonight and wore in my pocket, Lord, as I minister the word for her daughter. Lord Jesus, you see the situation. I'm asking you, dear God, that you would break the yoke of the enemy. Father, may the power of God just move upon this young lady's heart. Help her, Lord Jesus. We commit the service, the preaching of the word, to the power of God, our hearing as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Praise be to God. Me looking at it you looking at it, it would probably seem to us as if though everything this man had done in Jerusalem was a failure. He had witnessed to James, he had talked to the brothers, and there seemed to be somewhat of a camaraderie there and an acceptance among the other brethren. And there seemed to be some closer fellowship, some understanding, some mutual respect that was there. That wasn't, as we look at it humanly, a failure. By their suggestion, he goes out and joins himself to these other men who've made the vow. He does that with a clear conscience before God, with a good intention, a good motive, and an objective. But it turns out to be an absolute mess. I'm not saying he's wrong in doing it now. But the way it looks humanly, everything that the man tried to do from that point on seemed like it was turned upside down. And there was nothing that seemed to go good of what we would measure accomplishment by. And then whenever Paul is now rescued and it comes to where the law has to intervene on his behalf or he's going to be destroyed, then the Lord Jesus, not that day, but the next one, the next night, comes to him. Now, he could have said all kinds of things. But you know, when Jesus comes, his words may be minimum, but they are words of value. So we know he does not mince words. He does not waste words. So if he told Paul, be of good cheer, there's a reason for him to say that. Now, you imagine you sitting in the jail and you're thinking about all that you've done, all the effort that you put forth, and seem like from your entrance into Jerusalem, people are prophesied, don't go, don't go, don't go. In your mind, you feel in your heart, this is something you must do. You get there, most everything you've done turned upside down. In your heart, your mind, your spirit, you're wondering, did I miss God somehow? Was I out of the will of God? Maybe that was the Lord that was telling them to tell me not to stay. Maybe somehow in my mind. Do you believe these people went through these kind of things? Sure they did. Brother Bram said when Abraham was out there under the oak tree, he said the devil told him whenever the drought was around, the water hole had dried up and the grass had dried up. He said the devil told him, you know what? You're in the wrong place. Now, can you imagine a man like Abraham? Hey, friend, then don't become, you know, so all tore all to pieces if the devil tells you you're sitting in the wrong church. When you have all kinds of troubles that goes on, the devil said, you know what? You probably don't even belong here. You're probably supposed to be somewhere else. That's probably one of the greatest signs you've got that you're home. Amen. Abraham is exactly where he belonged in God's presence, but yet there must have been some little tendency, some question there that the devil knew had worked before and got him to go down to Egypt, got him to go to the land of the Philistines, and now he's telling him the same thing again, you're probably in the wrong place. So here the Lord Jesus appears to Paul and he says, Paul, be of good cheer. You have witnessed for me. You've not failed. You've not been a failure. You've not fallen short of my glory. You have witnessed for me. And as a matter of fact, you have done it so good. I'm going to let you go to Rome for me. Now, you imagine what this must have been to Paul. We're sitting here, of course, in the third person tonight as we are reading this. We're getting it from Luke's account as Luke was inspired by the Holy Ghost to get it. And Luke does not convey the value by emotional attachment, but Luke simply is conveying by, as an author's pen would write, writing down no doubt what Paul told him took place. If Paul would have written this and would have said the expression of his soul, he could have said, oh my, you don't know how I felt, what it meant to me that night. Luke did not go that way. So Luke leaves that out. But in our minds, we can imagine what it would have meant to us. Oh, you know what it means to you when you're going through a great difficult time and the Lord Jesus, he may appear to you in a dream or he may anoint the preacher to preach something that you know is exactly your name, address, phone number, email, the whole thing. And you know the Lord sent him for you and you know how it makes you feel. And we have emotions that are attached to that. I do, and you do as well. So we can imagine how Paul must have felt. Oh, you know, the night following, the Lord stood by him. Now here it was, the Lord Jesus himself. Not an angel. It was not a cherubim. But it was the Lord himself. And he said, be of good cheer. Now I know you're a prisoner. I know things are bad. But don't worry about it. I know you're kind of down right now. And you're actually being held here. And there's all these things that are going against you, but be of good cheer. I know y'all are in Laodicea, but be of good cheer. I know there's sickness around you, there's difficulty around you, but be of good cheer. The rapture is closer than it's ever been. Amen. You are the closest generation that has ever faced the resurrection and the rapture. There has never been a generation that is as close as you are tonight. So be of good cheer. Oh, hallelujah. I know Korea's talking about war. I know Russia's talking about this and that and the other. But be of good cheer. Before one bomb ever drops, you will be gone. Oh, praise God. Be of good cheer. Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so there must bear witness also at Rome. You've done a good job. You've done a good job, Paul. Don't worry about it. I know it looks like that. But remember, Paul, you're testifying of me. Everybody that is testified to about me doesn't always repent. Some you testify in a positive way. Some you will testify against them in a negative way. But you've done it for me and you're going to Rome. Now, the attempt to win the legalistic Jews had failed. But look, he had been able to testify before the high priest. He had testified before the Sanhedrin. He had testified before the scribes, the Pharisees, the Romans. He had testified before centurions and hundreds of Roman soldiers. If he would have went in and all this would have went over peaceably, he had never testified to this Roman. He had never testified to all the Sanhedrin. But God, even though it was difficult, oh children, if we could only realize when we're going through tough times, that God by his grace is allowing us to testify of the power of God that keeps us even when we're not doing good. Oh my. Amen. Thou must also bear witness of me in Rome. Now here the entire the desire of Paul's heart was to go to Rome. How in the world is it going to be? It was like it was a predestinated mystery in Paul's life that he knew that he was going to go, but he couldn't understand how he was going to go. And my, here it is. God knows this is going to be his desire. What better way to go to Rome than by Roman guards? God's going to pay his way. They're going to buy his food, his Snickers, his Pepsi, his Coke, everything. It's Roman. It's a free Roman paid trip. It's a Roman holiday. Amen. God said, Paul, I'm going to have you to go to Rome. You can't go no better than this, Paul. I'm going to have a Roman guard that's going to escort you right straight into the city. Amen. What's this in Acts 19, chapter 19, verse 21? After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now notice this now, in chapter 19, something in him desiring to see Rome. Now remember, the book of Romans was written to the Roman people, chapter 1, verse 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Who? The Roman people. This is not written in Rome, but it's written to the Romans. And yet he's wanting to come to them. Oh my. Don't you see why? There's something in you calling for the rapture. It's the predestinated mystery of your life. You're going to go, friends. There's nothing going to stop you from going to Rome. If you're ordained to go to Rome, you're going to Rome. Praise the Lord. If you're ordained to go in the rapture, there ain't enough devils out of hell. You ain't got enough mistakes. You ain't got enough shortcomings to stop you from going. Notice again, Romans 15:22, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Isn't that amazing now? Here he wanted to go, and time after time he tried to go, and nothing worked out. And he'd been hindered, but God said, you're going to Rome. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire, these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thither by you, if first be somewhat filled with your company. Now, your Paul is desiring this, and God said, you're going to get to go. This is where you wanted to go. You're going to get to go, and I'm going to send you. Did it happen immediately? It did not. Did it happen on a 747 first class? It did not. Did it happen without difficulty? It did not. But remember, you're going to Rome. Are you going in the rapture? I am. Am I going first class? Probably not. Am I going trouble free? Probably not. Am I going difficult free? Probably not. But the thing of it is, I'm going. I said, I'm going. We're going. We may have trouble, but we're going. We may have difficulty, but we're going. Oh, hallelujah. We are going, and nothing is going to stop us because God said we can. Oh, my. So Jesus speaks to him. Jesus comforts him. Jesus gives him a promise. And the very next day, this happens. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse. So Jesus speaks to him this night, and the devil gets on these bunch of Jews. So you're in the fellowship of Jesus in the night and under the threat of murders in the morning. I've been there and done that. They bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. The solace, the comfort of the Savior is followed by the threats of hell. How many's ever been there? Oh my goodness, you have such a good service on Wednesday night or Saturday night or Sunday morning, whatever it is. You have such a prayer meeting with God. You get along with God. Have a really nice day with God. You sisters, you're making your beds and, you know, fixing supper and whatever more. Just have a good time with the Lord. And my, something happens and just causes such difficulty. And you think, what in the world is it? It's because we're living under the law of contrast. So here Jesus appears to Paul. What solace, what comfort, what restoration that he comes. And the very next day follows this kind of trouble. So after the night in the presence of the master comes threat from these murders. So this is not unusual. As a matter of fact, it is quite usual for this because it's the law of contrast. Watch Abraham when God had appeared to Abraham in Genesis chapter 22 verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the very next chapter, coming down off of the mountain, and just a little space of time passing away, the very next chapter, chapter 23, verse 1, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. And these are the years of the life of Sarah. After the Jehovah Jireh mountaintop experience, the queen of his heart dies. God manifests himself. God proves himself. And then God takes his wife. Praise the Lord. And Sarah died in Kirjath Arba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Look at Moses, Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Oh, what a great time. The pillar of fire met the prophet of God, give him great signs. Now him and Aaron come before the people, and they tell the people, look, God sent us. We're fixing to go out. Revival's coming. Revival's coming. It is But heartache's coming prior to the revival. Now watch, chapter 5, verse 1. That's what Moses and Aaron went in at the glen before Pharaoh. And told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Verse 5. Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest for the burdens. And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make brick. As heretofore, let them go and gather straw for themselves. So here comes the prophet with the signs, the wonders. The revival starts. He goes in before Pharaoh. Man, they're already packing up their suitcases. They've done got all their horses and their cows and everything ready. They've got all their meds ready. They've got everything packed and ready to go. And Pharaoh says, not so quick. So they said, we don't care what Pharaoh said. We're out of here. We're going, man. We're ready to go. God said, no. So Pharaoh said, I understand you all have a lot of time on your hands. So I'm commanding my people to stop giving you straw. You go out and get your straw, and I don't want one tally of brick to be less than it was the day before. Because apparently y'all got a lot of time on your hands. So some of you need to still start working two jobs. And some of you need double shifts. So you'll miss Wednesday night church. Oh my. Notice now. And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land. And now there are many. So you know what? Apparently there's so many of them. And they've got a bunch of idle time on their hands. This is not the way this is supposed to go, is it? Actually, it is. Actually, it is. Now, after the revival, before the deliverance, after this great thing, they bow their head and their worship mind. I wonder how long it had been since they'd done that. Under their anxiety and their worry and their fear, how long it had been since they had simply bowed their heads and worshiped. Understand what significance this has? For this to be mentioned in this way, it proves they had not done it for a long, long time. This was of such a value that when God had Moses write, he said, be sure and put that down, Moses, because it may seem like a little thing, but it's a big thing. It's also a big thing for us today when we bow our heads and worship. Bowing our heads is a sign that we submit to our master and our Lord. Exactly right. Now the tally of bricks which they did make heretofore, you shall lay upon them. You shall not diminish aught thereof. They shall be idle. Therefore they cry, let us go and sacrifice to our God. You mean this followed the visitation of a prophet? This followed a rod being turned into a serpent. Wow, we've seen that man turn that rod into a serpent, grab it by the tail. We saw that. Verse 12, so the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hasted them, saying, fulfill your works, your daily task as though it was straw. And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters set over them, were beaten and demanded, wherefore have you not fulfilled your task in making bread, both yesterday and today? Oh my. Now you want this message, do you? You're talking about a rapture? You're talking about leaving here? Why? This follows great times. Watch in verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh. This is the same man that bowed their head before the day before. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God sent us a prophet of Malachi 4. Oh my. Now the difficulty of this prophet's message, in the reality of it, is facing them. And when they do, they say, God judge you. God will judge you. Look what you've done to us. You've made this more difficult. It's much better. I wish I'd have stayed in Pentecost. I wish you did too, if that's your attitude. If you wish you're still in Pentecost, you probably should be there and leave us alone. Because we're glad we come out. Ain't we? Amen. Oh, my, my. Notice now the attitude that they have. The Lord look upon you. And then verse 22, of course, Moses gets all tore up. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? They ain't even left Egypt yet. They're not even out. They ain't even got started. Why? This is the way God does. He tests us. Look at this. Unchangeable God. Brother Man said, when God makes a promise and opposition rise, that's only the test. Where you really got the word or not. The man that's got good gold don't mind going to the testing stone. That's true. Peter said, I believe it was. These trials have come to test us, try us, see what we'll do with it. That's right. When you get the Holy Ghost, the husband's going to run out of the house or mother's going to make you leave home. Then things don't give up and go back into the world. That's only a testing time. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh my. Notice again he says, look at Elijah the prophet. Elijah was one of the major prophets. The man went up, stood on the mountain and commanded fire to come from heaven. Burn up the sacrifice and it did it. Call rain down, my, out of the heaven where it hadn't rained for 3 years and 6 months. Is that right? And when the inspiration left him, he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, didn't know where he was at. So miracle after miracle happens and the inspiration leaves him and God allows the devil to come to Elijah and he wanders around in the wilderness for 40 days and he don't even know where he's at. Has a nervous breakdown basically. After such a revival? After such a move of God? Why? We're still under the law of contrast. Oh, I know this ain't very encouraging to you. Then y'all just saying, well, I don't want no more blessings. Then, well, I do. I still want the blessings. I know trials is going to come, but I still want them. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Donnie, if that's the way it is, oh my, but it'll always outweigh. It'll always outweigh. The blessings will always outweigh the trials. They always do. Oh my. Notice when the inspiration left him, he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, didn't know where he was at, and God found him. Now he's lost to himself, don't know where he's at. But God found him, pulled back in a cave somewhere, is that right? And run from a woman who threatened his life. Actually, he killed 400 priests himself that day with a sword and chopped their heads off. You're talking about a revival. I've been in a few of them too. I mean, chop their heads off himself. Call fire out of heaven. Call rain down out of heaven. Kill these false prophets. And then the inspiration, leave him and run from the threat of one woman. My, my. Boy, on Sunday morning, we can climb these walls nearly. Glory to God, devil, where are you at? And then somebody might say, I'm sorry, devil. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it. I just got caught up into Brother Donnie's spirit. He's crazy like that. He makes me feel like I can do everything and then I have to pay for it on Monday. I'm sorry, devil, please. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, my. He said he stood there before them nations and listen to this, dared them to defy God. And made fun of all them priests and prophets of Balaam, all those prophesying, cutting themselves and so forth, and said, call a little louder. Maybe he's pursuing. Maybe your God went over to Walmart somewhere. He might be over at Sonic getting him a large drink and a hot dog. Why don't you call a little louder on your God? He's standing out there just laughing and said, you bunch of knotheads, what in the world's the matter with you? Why don't you call on your God? Maybe he's gone on a vacation. He's probably down at Myrtle Beach somewhere. He may be over at Gatlinburg. Oh, he's at Dollywood. That's where he's at. Call on your God a little bit. But boy, when that anointing left him, he said, oh God. Oh God. Been there and done that. Oh my. Oh my, call a little louder. Maybe he's pursuing. When the inspiration was on him, he defied everything that was ungodly. And then when the inspiration left him, he ran from the threat of one woman. Run out into the wilderness and God fed him and woke him up and fed him again. And the man was unconscious, as far as I know, wandering around the wilderness for 40 days and nights, and God found him back in a cave. After such a prophecy. Anybody here got the book of Acts written in your life? Just a few of you? Oh my goodness. You mean all the rest of y'all live on the mountaintop? Really? How does that feel? Please, please, please come share that testimony with us. Tell us how it feels to be 24/7 on the mountain every day. Tell us how it feels to never go through a battle. Well, if you ain't there, then I expect you to respond when I'm talking to you. Glory. Why, friends? It's in the law of contrast. We have good times, so tremendous we feel like our bodies won't be able to take another 5 minutes in the presence of God. And then we can be so low, feel so down in our human spirit, not our soul now. Our soul's still soaring in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My soul ain't had a bad day since I got the Holy Ghost. I ain't had one rainy day. I ain't had one gloomy day. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's all joy. Hey, man, I mean, I'm constantly drunk. Constantly intoxicated in the presence of God. Constantly revelated in the Spirit of God. So happy that I don't know which way I'm going to do. If God keeps on blessing me the way he does, I just think, Lord, you have to back off. You're hurting me bad, Jesus. Your revelation just keeps it going. And yet the other two parts of me can be hurting or sick or down or weary. Why? Because I am a paradox. And you are a paradox. Within me is the law of contrast. Notice he says Jonah received inspiration and went into a city with nearly a million people in it. And it was so wicked, they were very wicked. And he prophesied with such power. After God gave him a message to the people, he was anointed prophet to go down there and foretell within 40 days God would destroy that city. It went through with such power until they put sackcloth on their animals and the way they repented in such a way. And the man went up on a hill and asked God to take his own life. And a little worm to cut down the tree down. Is that right? Why? The law of contrast. So Paul can see Jesus one night and murders the next morning. Look here in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus. Matthew 3:16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Chapter 4, verse 1. Yes, sir. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Amen. So after this great event at Jordan, comes this temptation of the devil. Amen. We just left Switzerland, as you know, in the meetings there. The Lord moved in such a wonderful way. We were standing in the line coming, arriving in Atlanta, going through passport control. Brother Tim gets a phone call, hands it to his wife, Sister Karen, had to rush her mother to the ER. Before they ever get home, things start happening. Brother Ron Spencer started feeling bad on the way home. Direct flight from Geneva to Washington. Started getting sick. By the time he got home, he was sick, not feeling well. Had to go to the doctor. Now he has pneumonia. I come home, jet lag. I didn't realize jet lag was a minor thing compared to what I was fixing to have. Sunday after church, about 4 o'clock, I got a kidney stone attack. So I was down to see Liz and Scott and the girls, and I finally come home and walked and paced the floor and walked and paced and prayed and prayed and Carol prayed. I walked and prayed. I got down on the floor and prayed. I got down on the nightstand and prayed and laid there and called on the name of the Lord hour after hour after hour. Why? We'd box the devil's jaws. And that was like it was his time to hit back. Oh, Brother Donnie, you must have done something wrong. I must have done something right. It's the same way with you. Just because trouble comes after a blessing don't mean you've done something wrong. It does not mean that you're out of the will of God. But it's Satan trying to hit you and try your faith.
So what do? We keep on pressing on. That's what we do. Oh, hallelujah. So I labored against that kidney stone on Monday and Monday night and woke up all during the night. Oh, God, deliver me. Oh, God, deliver me. So should I fly back to Switzerland and see if I'd done something wrong? I didn't do nothing wrong. I know this is the pattern of the word. So I stand my ground. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't you understand, friends, when things go wrong, it don't mean you're out of the will of God. It don't mean that you're disobedient. It's one of the best signs you got that you're on the right side and you're doing the right thing, that Satan's trying to oppose you. So what do? We keep right on pressing. Brother Ben said it's like a little bird in an egg. And he said, what if that little bird's inside of there? And he said, he hears a voice on the outside. You better not break that egg. You better not come out of there. It's a bad world out here. You better not come out. But he said he takes that little beak and he hammers against that. And he hits it again. And he hits it again. He said, that's the way that we fight the devil. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Till we break our way out. Amen. Hallelujah to God. That's what we did. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, until we're free of that disease or sickness or trouble. You mean you all didn't hear me scream yesterday about 10:15, 10:30? I would have thought y'all would have heard it come over to Kingsport. I passed the kidney stone. Oh, I can tell every one of you that ain't had one by the way you clapped your hands. If you've ever had one, you say, he set me free. Yes, he set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I checked on Brother Ron today, buddy. How you doing? Doing a little bit better. Had to double up on this and that and the other. I'm doing a little bit better. Got a meeting supposed to be on Friday. I'm not sure going to be a preacher, but I'm going to try. What do? Keep on hitting that egg. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Brother Donnie, there must be something wrong with you guys. There's something right with us. We are born of the Spirit of God, and hell hates us. It's the same with you and your children and our church and our message. This is why the devil hates it. The devil don't fight the Baptist the way he does this. He don't fight the Pentecostals the way he does this. This is the last spark of light that is left on the earth. He hates this message. He hates every true message preacher. He hates every true message, sir. And the feelings are mutual, devil. We hate you too. Amen, amen. So we talk to Jesus tonight and deal with murderers tomorrow. We punch and the devil punches back. And we punch back and he punches back. But the good part is we get the last punch. That's right. The last punch is going to be when death, death is going to be defied in your mortal body. You get the last punch on the devil. Oh my. Notice now, here's Paul now under the dark side of this contrast. Verse 12 again from chapter 23. And when it was day, certain of the Jews. Now he's just dealt with Jesus just a few hours prior to this. His soul is soaring once again. Thank you, Lord. I thought maybe I'd missed you, God. I thought maybe I'd done something wrong. Everything's been happening. It looks like awful. Thank you so much. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to Rome. Oh, my heart's desire to go to Rome. Why? I'm going to go down here. I'm going to pay passage on a boat. I'm going to go out of here. And man alive. I mean, I'm going like Jonah. No doubt this is a vacation. But you see, sometimes prophecy is unveiled in affliction. Now, Jesus didn't say how he was going to Rome, but he just said he was going to Rome. And it really depends on how you look now. God what is fixing to happen and how we view it, to me, there is a great positive side in what is fixing to happen. If this had not unveiled this way in such difficult, extreme opposition, he would have never been escorted the way he's fixing to be escorted. So God, even in the dark side of the contrast, knows how to take care of you. He made Pharaoh raise up Moses, fed him, watered him, gave him a good education, raised up his deliverer right in his own house. Praise be to God. He knows exactly how to do it. Now what? So one of those days, certain of the Jews banded together. Now remember, this is a vow, of course, under the Levitical law by which they could bind themselves. And they would be committed, but as I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, that the rabbis actually had the power given to them by tradition, not by the word, but to be able to liberate these men from this vow, which is a good thing because they would have starved to death. Because they're taking a vow against a man of God. So whenever you're vowing against a bride or a man of God, you better be careful what you're vowing against or you're going to be a skeleton hanging on a pole. That's right, because amen, if God is on our side, who can be against us? Now, people can say what they want to say. People are, I'll destroy Donnie Reagan. I'll destroy that church. Good luck in trying. While you're destroying, I'm going to be flying. While you're trying to destroy this bride, people's raised up websites. They've made videos. They've done this and that and the other. And in spite of everything they've done, the message is growing. The message is still growing. The revelation is growing. New people are coming to the Word. Nations all around the world have embraced this Word. Come on, children. You've got in your mind, there ain't nobody left. Let me tell you something. There are thousands times thousands times thousands that are around this world that believe this word. I saw two men in Switzerland, and they're in fellowship with about 80 different groups in West Africa, and the number of people is between 85 and 90,000 people. So you get in your mind, there's a little bitty handful. It's a handful compared to the majority. But God has a bride in this message. And I don't care who tries to pull her away. They won't get the bride. They'll only get the shuck. Oh my. Verse 13. And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Now they met together and they thought, he won't get by us. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing, we'll do this and that and the other, and we'll do whatever more. Do it. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Praise God. And they came to the chief priest and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, if these men were men of character, they would have stopped these men and said, hey, brethren, this is contrary to what the prophet taught. But since they were snakes and hypocrites, they probably, glory, just do it carefully so you don't bring no reproach on us. Come on, children. Oh my, bunch of hypocrites. That's exactly what they were. Now these are the spiritual leaders of the day. So you imagine somebody comes to me as your pastor and said, I'm going to do this person wrong. I'm going to do this wrong. And I'm saying, no, you are not. Don't you do that. You get yourself in trouble. Any true man of integrity and character would do so. But did they do it? Absolutely not. Why? They're worthy of the judgment they're fixing to receive. Yes, sir. They are displaying it in the way they dealt with the Lord Jesus, and the way they dealt with Stephen, and now in the way they're dealing with Paul. So instead of trying to correct these men, they just let it go on. Oh my. You are what you are in secret, friends. It ain't just what everybody sees you are right here. So they come to the main religious leaders. They came to the chief priests and elders. Now these are the main guys, you know, that's the spiritual leaders of the day. Now therefore, you have a counsel to signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow. Now this is what we're going to do. We've done got this plan all worked out. I love it. I love it. How many of these plans has the devil worked for your life? And before he could ever spring them, God intervened. He had you to do a certain thing, to leave your car keys in the bedroom, and you normally leave it in the kitchen, which made you 30 seconds later than normal. And he had this drunk coming down the road to do this and this and this. Man, he had it timed just exactly right. You're going to come up to the four-way stop, and when you do, that drunk is going to run slap over you and T-bone you on the side and going to kill you. I mean, you get out there in the car, and God has an angel to go down there and cross your spark plug wires, and your car won't start, and you're thinking, what in the world's the matter? You old piece of junk. God just spares your life. That's what happened to you. And you get out there, and the dog back said, get out of my way, you dog. That dog cost you 5 seconds, which spared your life. Oh, my friends, we come to this earth by the will of God, and we're going to leave the same way. There ain't enough devils in hell can take you to God's done with you. You believe that? Now, they've got it all worked out. Now, what you're going to do is tell the council, signify to the chief captain that he bring him down. Now, the whole Sanhedrin now is going to be a part of this. All the great religious leaders, the Pope and all of them, you know, they're going to be a part of this whole agenda. We're going to bring him down tomorrow, as though you would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. Now just tell the chief captain, there's some things that you need to understand. You need to question the man more. And when you come down in this certain place, we're going to be there. And God just thinking, you dumb devil. Dumb devil. When are you ever going to get to a place you can say, you dumb devil? You brought this trial on me. It brought me closer to God. It made me pray more. I read my Bible more. Devil, you are just about one of the dumbest things I know of. Don't you ever learn? The more you put upon me, the more you come against me, the closer I get to God. And the closer I get to God, the more you put upon me, and the more you put upon me, the more I get closer to God, and the more I get closer to God, the more you put upon me. I'm the one winning in this deal, devil. You're the one losing. Oh, the more Satan fights this message, the more God proves it's the truth. Amen. So they all agree. Shh. What a great man. Don't tell nobody. God heard it. And God's got a greater plan. So what God's going to do is he's going to use a little boy. It ain't going to be a 5-star general to foil this plan. He's going to use a kid. You know, kind of like in the land of Israel, when this great big old guy's bouncing back and forth. Where's the God of Israel? This little bitty old guy up there said, what in the world's that racket? And he said, now watch it, you little Pentecostal. You get yourself in a mess of trouble. He said, what in the he's standing against the name of the Lord God of it. Let me at him. Now you little whippersnapper, you better sit down over there somewhere and Saul said, I admire your courage, buddy. But here, let me put on a PhD and a double LD and all this stuff on you. And David comes out there and he can't even hardly move around. He said, take the stuff off of me. I've not proved it. Hey, man, he runs down there and Goliath looks and said, ha, oh, Israel fallen to this, that should send this child out to fight me. And David looks up there and he said, you come against me in the name of your gods. You come against me with a sword and a stave, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Hallelujah. What's God going to use? He's going to use a little boy. What's God going to use to defeat him? He's going to use a little boy. What did God use in this age to come against all Methodist theology, all Pentecostal theology? A little boy born down in Kentucky. Amen. When the pillar of fire come in there in his Burksville home and the world laughed at him and made fun of him, and God said, I'll prove to you what I can do with one man in my hands. He's not educated. He's not a great intellectual. But he's a surrendered man of God. Hallelujah.
verse 16. And when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. Now, I want you to notice, God didn't send an angel this time. He sent a little boy. Now, are you going to tell me this is not supernatural? Friends, why is it we despise remedies? Why is it that we despise natural means that sometimes God will use in a supernatural way? Brother Ram says God himself uses remedies. When he sent the prophet in there to pray for Hezekiah, he took a lump of figs and put on that cancer. Now the cancer center treatment would never use figs, but the prophet did. He said Jesus used remedies himself. He said he stooped down there and made a spittle and rubbed on the blind man's eyes. Oh, you think Paul is going to reject this because it's not an angel of God? Why would you reject it? Well, I've been praying God would meet my need. I've been praying God would meet my need. And a brother walks up to you after church and gives you $50. Keep your money. I don't want it. That was just an answer to your prayer. Did you think Gabriel's going to come down and write you a personal check on the bank of heaven from Gabriel? You're going to think it ain't supernatural? Come on, children. We become so far stretched, if we're not careful, we miss the blessings of God because we think they got to roll out of heaven somewhere. Sometime it'll come from the brother or the sister or the person sitting right by you or behind you, and it'll be the word from God in the right time, and you don't even recognize it as being God. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. Now, Luke doesn't tell us how he heard. But we have no record that Paul's sister or her son were believers. So, I mean, God's actually going to use somebody that's not even a believer. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. If I ever get in trouble and God wants to use an infidel to get me out, so be it. It don't have to be a robe, you know, robe saints with long robes and sandals and whatever more. Man, if it can be a heathen, I don't care. As long as I get out, let me out. Praise the Lord. If I'm a hurting and I can take something for that pain in the form of pill, antacid, herb, liquid, nitrogen, capsule form, solid, whatever more, I'll accept it. Amen. Hallelujah. It don't have to be delivered to me via angelic email. If it comes in the form of a bottle or a tablet or a capsule, praise God, I need it, I'll take it. Come on, saints, don't sit there and look at me like I'm from another planet. God gives us helps because he loves us. So neither Paul's sister nor his nephew is a believer. So maybe it was one long tongue blabber among them. And he was standing down in the marketplace somewhere saying, yeah, don't tell nobody, but tomorrow we got a plan. We're fixing to go up and get that old Paul. Yeah, buddy. We got him lined out. Just don't tell nobody. This is between me and you. He said, we don't tell nobody. And this boy said, Paul? He said, yeah, we're going to plan. He said, oh my goodness. That's my Uncle Paul. I mean, he's a nut as far as what he believes, but I cannot stand despair to see him killed. Oh my. Now here comes this little boy. Praise God. Here comes this little boy. And Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. He went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Now, not Jesus this time. Not an angel, not a cherubim. But a nephew that's not a believer. I've heard they're trying to lay a trap for you. Like a police officer told Brother Ron not long ago, said some of these folks are doing background search on you. They're trying to dig up in your past, see if they can find anything. He said, let them dig. Now these were, of course, Christians that had left the message. They also did one on me. Well, several on me, actually. Let them dig. Let them search. Praise the Lord. I ain't got nothing to hide. Come on now, saints.
Don't get all scared and all nervous and all, Brother Donnie, that's scary stuff. No, it ain't. I've got good gold. I don't have hypocritical gold. I've got good gold. I don't have fool's gold. Hallelujah. Now, I can't answer for my daddy and some of my uncles and some of them other people back there. Boy, you go to digging very far back down and you're going to find some stuff. I mean, but I ain't responsible for them. I'm responsible for me. Praise the Lord. Now, you, Paul, my, you imagine this young man. He's just praying, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, how you going to work this? And God, I don't know how it's going to come about. I don't know. Lord, I know you're going to do it. I just know you're going to work it out. And here's his nephew. So, well, nephew, I haven't seen you. He said, Uncle Paul, I've got some terrible news. What do you mean? He said, I was down on the street corner, and I heard there's some guys, they're going to kill you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I heard them, What did you hear? Well, they've got this plan tomorrow. They're going to bring you down. They're going to apply to this guy, and they're going to bring you down, and they're going to act like that. But they're going to taste it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain. For he hath a certain thing to tell him. Amen. Not an angel, not Jesus. Notice the means now that Jesus is using. An unconverted nephew to an unconverted captain. To protect a predestinated seed. Now would you resent that? Would you resent God using some sinner out here to help pay your bill or to do this and that and the other? We're crazy if we would. Let's receive any means that God will give us, church. Oh, my. Now watch. So Paul appeals to a military man for help. Boy, I can say right now, some of y'all are struggling. You're struggling. Now watch verse 18. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul, the prisoner. Mama. Paul, the prisoner. Not Paul, the preacher. Not Paul, the prophet. Not Paul the apostle, not Paul the great man of God, but Paul the prisoner. Look at what a man this was. But this man didn't see it. What did he see, Brother Jim? A prisoner. This is all the capacity he has. This man is a prisoner. I don't understand him. He's a nut. He causes trouble everywhere he goes. All I know about the man is he's a prisoner. So Paul the prisoner called me and he said, this man, this boy here, this kid has something to say to you. And prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say unto thee. Amen. And the chief captain took him by the hand. Now this shows that the boy was still a child. For it was against the Roman law for these men to take a hold of young men, which would have been teens and older, by the hand. So this was a small child. Now look at this. This man is going to take the word of a boy. Don't you see, friends, what's happening? God is taking a natural means to bring about a supernatural deliverance. A natural means. God is going to do it. This man don't even question him. How did you know this? Where did you hear all this? I'm not sure I can trust you. How did all this come to pass? God is saving his prophet's life. Praise God. And he went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? I mean, what are you so troubled about, little guy? What's the problem?
And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them. What are you doing telling this Roman what to do? This is a leader of thousands of men, and you are telling him what to do? Not only are you telling him, but he's going to do it. You don't see supernatural in that? Praise God. So what if you go to a doctor for this and that and the other, and doctor sees something about you and says, let's do this scan, and the doctor finds a tumor or growth? Well, I didn't even know I had that. I didn't even know there's that. Oh my goodness. And you're not going to thank God in his mercy allowed that to happen to you? Oh, why didn't God send an angel? A CT scan was closer. Why do you figure God had them to figure out x-rays and MRIs and CT scans? It's because he loves humanity. He loves humanity. Come on, children. He loves humanity. So God would use that. Sure, the prophet of God said doctors are God's agents. Does he have them in our life? He does. Thank God for him. You ought to pray for him. That's what the prophet done. He prayed for him. Can you imagine this little lad, Brother Terry, giving this kind of a statement to this man? But do not thou yield unto them. For there they lie in wait for him of more than 40 men which have bound themselves with an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. Let's close. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him. See thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. No angels, no heavenly visitation, but God has just now delivered his servant. Maybe a cancer, a disease, or this and that and the other was fixing to take your life, and God let a doctor or a nurse or some kind of something fall upon you. It didn't seem supernatural. It didn't look supernatural, but it was. It was the supernatural God using a natural means to bring your deliverance. Let's stand. Praise God. So the book of Acts is healing, miracles, signs, wonders. It's also natural people being used in a supernatural way to help a supernatural bride. It's so many things. It's so much more, friends, than just prayer lines and healing and all that. There's so much more that goes with it. Your life is interwoven in this book right here. How many natural people has God used in your life? People you work for, people you work with. And somehow or another, Brother Phil, God just give you favor and just let this certain man probably never believe this word, never believe this message, and yet have a respect for us and that sort of thing. Never darken this door, and yet God used them to help you. You believe that? Can you humble yourself and give God praise for it? Can you say, Lord, you're watching out for me. God, here's a little boy. Here's a Roman soldier. Here's a law. I'm a Roman citizen. This Roman citizenship saved Paul several times. Right? How many times will God, things in our lives, we look around, oh my, this ain't supernatural. Oh, it's more supernatural than what you realize. And yet the hand of God does it. Because the main reason is this. He loves you. Let's bow our heads together. How many, with all these things being said, how many wants to be able to recognize God in the ways and the means that he uses around your life to help you? Maybe some of you that are going to school and you're struggling with this and that and the other, and somebody that understands the subject a little bit better than you can help you. But you refuse it because you're praying directly to God that God will help you. Well, he may be fixing to help you through somebody else. Unless you're so hard-headed you won't let him. Look, friends, if we need help, in whatever avenue that it is, if God sends it to us, let's receive it. Praise God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight, Father. I realize that Luke could have written only about the miracles. He could have written only about the times when Paul commanded the devils to leave the people. And we'll be running across some more miracles here shortly that'll be so wonderful and so phenomenal. But how big would the book of Acts be if it only stated the miracles and the signs? There wouldn't be near as many chapters. There wouldn't be near as many verses. And we wouldn't understand near as much about that early church. If the prophet of God only told on his tapes testimonies of those that were healed, signs, wonders, miracles, if he would have left out his trials, his tests, his failures, his fears, how much would we have to listen to? But Brother Branham didn't just tell testimonies of this one and that one that was healed, but he'd tell us of people who missed their vision. He would tell us of himself missing the vision of the brown bear. He would tell us himself of his failures as a man. And we are grateful for those things, Lord. We are thankful. Lord Jesus, I pray you would help each of us. Oh, we get discouraged at times, Lord. But Father, may we realize as long as you're hearing this law of contrast, Satan has time. He knows a certain element to be able to fight against us. And he will take every right that he has when it comes to fighting against us. But God, we will win. We will win. Help us not to be discouraged. Lord, I pray for Brother Ron tonight, Lord. You see this need in his body. I pray you'd strengthen him, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for delivering me yesterday, dear God. I so appreciate it with all my heart. Thank you, Lord, for moving for Sister Karen's mom. She's doing better. We appreciate it, Lord. Now I pray for those that are here tonight, maybe those that have streamed the service and those that are here, maybe they're in their mourning after you've appeared to them the night before. Maybe they've had such a great, wonderful time and experience, maybe a service, or they've just had such a wonderful day in your presence, and now the day has dawned and they're meeting such difficulty. Help them not to become distressed. Help them to remember your words that you'd never leave them and you'd never forsake them. Maybe the vow of those murderers is only going to bring to pass the words that you have spoken to them, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Jesus. Forgive us for not recognizing your many blessings and the many, many times that you wanted to move in our lives. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. I want to accept everything you send my way, wherever it comes, earth mail, email, heaven mail, however you want to send it, God. If it's through an angel, if it's through a man, if it's through somebody that don't even like me, whatever it is, Lord, I want to recognize and accept everything you send. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father, with all of our hearts. Praise be to God. I mean, loves him tonight. I mean, really, really. Oh, my. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them, it's been good to be in the house of God. Let me sing you this little song tonight, brother. See if you can find it. Well, the devil don't like no praising around here. Well, the devil don't like no praising around here. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna praise him anyhow. The devil don't like no praising around here. Well, the devil don't like no shouting around here. Well, the devil don't like no shouting around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna shout right here tonight. Amen! Hallelujah! Well, the devil don't want no preaching.
'cause we ain't a take church. Well, we don't care what the devil don't like. We're baptized by Holy Ghost and fire. We're gonna preach the gospel. Us praising God.
Amen.
The devil don't like us being happy in the morning after Jesus appears. The devil don't like you being free. The devil don't like you being able to worship God in hard times. But I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm going to praise my God tonight. The devil don't like no shouting around here. Well, the devil don't like no worshiping God around here. Worshiping God around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna worship God right here tonight. The devil don't want you worshiping God around here. Come on, children. Well, the devil don't like us preaching the gospel around here. Well, the devil don't like live preaching around here. But I don't care what the devil don't lie, and I'm gonna preach it as long as I've got life. Glory! I wish somebody would help me praise God. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah! Amen. Well, the devil didn't like him, and Jesus got out of the grave. I said the devil didn't like it when Jesus got out of the grave. Well, Jesus didn't care what the devil didn't like. He was the resurrection and the morning and the light. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the devil don't want no rapture happening here. Well, the devil don't want no rapture happening here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna be raptured in the twinkling of an eye. I don't care what the devil don't like around here. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The devil don't like it because we ain't a tape church around here. The devil don't like it because we ain't a tape church here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to have live preaching every time. 'Cause we don't care what the devil don't like around here. Amen. 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 The devil don't like you having joy around here.
you worshiping God around here. We don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna worship our God tonight. So go on back to hell, devil, get on out of here. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil don't like you, shout right here. Oh, hallelujah. Well, the devil don't like nobody shouting around here. Happy Valley. The devil don't like. We come here on Wednesday night to bless our God. So go ahead and get out of here. Oh, the devil don't like us having the Holy Ghost around here. Well, the devil don't like our young people having the Holy Ghost around here. Young people don't care what the devil don't like. We've got the Holy Ghost and fire tonight. We don't care what the devil don't like around. Around here, the devil don't like us having rapture faith around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're having rapture faith by the revelation of God tonight. We don't care what the devil don't like around here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's just one of them kind of songs, and we could go all night till midnight. It's just one of them that'll get kind of you riding down the road tomorrow. Well, the devil, and then it comes your part. I don't care what the devil don't like. I was born a God of the evening light. Glory! Hallelujah! Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We can act this way with kidney stones or without. It's much easier to act this way when you pass them, but we can act this way when we're sick. We can act this way when we're down. Why? Because we know the promise ain't going to fail.
Hallelujah.
It ain't going to fail, children. The devil don't want no healing around here. The devil don't want some of you to be healed around here. He don't like it. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're going to be healed by the power of God right this night. Because we don't care what the devil don't want around here. Oh, hallelujah. The devil don't want you praising God around here. Well, the devil don't want you praising God around here. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We're gonna praise our God tonight. We're gonna bless his name right here. Well, the devil don't want you being happy here tonight. Oh, no. Well, the devil don't want you to be happy. Oh, he sure don't. He wants you to be sad. But we don't care what the devil don't like. We've got joy overflowing down inside. We're going to praise our God right here tonight.
Oh, glory.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Well, I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil don't like. I'm baptized by Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to bless my God right here tonight. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There ain't but 375 verses to that song, I figure. Oh, my. Let me change it before I keep you all night. It's because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's just worship Him now before we go. Can face all her tomorrow.